the question was asked, is it a positive thing if we use legislation to get more observance into this country? So that depends on which type of observance. If you use legislation like Netanyahu is doing now to get Jewish children to know about their heritage, to know what Kever Rachel is, that's the new program that Netanyahu is putting through, that every Jewish child has to visit the Kotel in their education. They have to understand what the Kotel is, what the Kever Rachel is. That's a very positive thing. Why not? If you use legislation to ensure that they don't bring in chadash flour into the country, well, chadash flour is a biblical prohibition. There's no reason they should have to buy chadash flour. You could always buy yashan flour. There's a whole world full of yashan flour. Russia, the United States, there's no shortage of yashan. So it's very good that there's legislation that way. If you're going to use legislation to say, no buses, no cars, no traffic, unless it's emergency vehicles on Shabbos, there's no driving. Let's take that example. So that's incorrect. The Chazanish said that in our day and age, that would be counterproductive. In a day and age where 99.999% of the country is Torah observant, so then you have if we have the power, we forbid people to do different. We say, look, the Jewish people, we're here, the masses, we keep Torah and mitzvahs. You want to do different? We're not going to let you do that. Within the Jewish people here, we have control, but that's what we'll do. In a day and age like today, where you have a lot of people who are non-observant, and if we want them to be observant, then we have to educate them and show them and in a loving way expose them to what Judaism is all about. And even if we had the power, said the Chazon Ish, even if we had the power to impose the observance of all the Torah's laws, we wouldn't do it, because that's just not the way you're going to get people to keep Torah and mitzvahs. We could add that there was a king in Jewish history who tried to do it, Yoshio. He had his policemen going to every house, and his KGB would check for idols, and it didn't work. It backfired. They tricked him. They outsmarted him, and he paid for the he paid for it with his life. And then, okay, fine. The Kohen is a different point. Fine, I meant right, and non-Jews would be allowed to drive. Right, I meant the Jews. No cars, I meant no Jews driving on Shabbos. I meant no Jews driving on Shabbos, but that even that we wouldn't do. Chazon Ish said we wouldn't do it, because that's not the way to move the nation forward. The whole idea is that you got to get people to be observant. You want to get them to be observant, so expose them to a Shabbos atmosphere. So it depends on which type of legislation. Stuff that could be put in, and there's no reason that people should oppose it unless they're anti-religion. Okay, so then there's no reason. They want to be anti-religion, I could be pro-religion, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no, it doesn't bother them. There's no reason they should be against it unless they're anti-religious. Well, then I have to be pro-religious. I have to fight for it. There's no reason why not. But if it's in other areas, so we don't try to impose new legislation, but there's nothing wrong with old legislation. You know, if the law right now is that El Al is not allowed to fly on Shabbos, and no one's opposing that, then I shouldn't come out and say, well, according to the Chazon Ish, we shouldn't impose it, so let's allow them to fly on Shabbos. No. Why should I change it? There's a status quo, and it's in line with the Torah, and let's keep it. Sometimes we could get things into the status quo and no one notices, and then we could advance the nation, and that's also a positive thing. But we don't go head on and start telling people from now on every Jew has to light Shabbos candles, and if you do, you have to, and if you miss it, you'll pay a fine. We don't do that. That's not the way to bring people close. Even if we could impose such legislation, we wouldn't. But that doesn't mean we don't try to do things in ways that are pleasant. We do try to bring people closer in pleasant ways, and if we could get things in without anyone noticing it, then we should. If you could put in legislation that prohibits pornography in the country, you should. You should. It's a positive thing. It's a positive thing religiously. It's a positive thing morally. And if you could put it under the guise of something moral and the fact that your drive is really religious, it can be covered. So why not? Why not? We do try to push things that are in line with halacha. And again, there are a lot of things that shouldn't bother anyone. The whole tadadam they made about what was happening with the graves, with the hospital, and you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, in Ashdod.
So if you looked at the facts, they were just taking advantage of it as a propaganda machine to talk anti-religious. But the fact of the matter is that the doctors said it's okay, and the people who researched it said it's okay, and the government said it's okay, and anyone who looked into it impartially said you could move it and set it up the way the religious parties wanted and there would be no harm and it was perfectly fine. Those who were anti-religious started a propaganda machine. It was a good thing to jump on and badmouth the religious.
World was also split on that.
What?
But the religious world was itself split
on that. I don't know. I don't know, but the research that had been taking place for almost a decade all was in support that there would be no problem to do it. Whether you needed to do it religiously or not is a separate question, but there was no problem. It was just a propaganda machine. It was a way of saying bad things about the religious. So people jumped on it and did it. The same thing with the story in Emmanuel. If you really know what went on there, and the reason I think I really know is because the person from the Ministry of Education who dealt with the project shared the information with a relative of mine, exactly what happened there. It was all a propaganda machine. There was nothing there against Sfardim. There was nothing there that the court should have opposed in any logical court. All the parents said is, we want to live on a certain religious level, and we want to have a certain religious standard for the girls, and we will set up two schools, and it has nothing to do with Sfardi or Ashkenazi. Those who want to be Torah observant, those who want to dress in accordance with our dress code, those who want to keep Shabbos should attend one school, and those that are not going to go in line with the codes of religion that we go with should go to the other school. They even set up two schools. Initially, they accepted these girls to help them, but there were conditions, and the girls did not agree to meet those conditions, such as a dress code. And that's normal, that's legitimate, that a school has a dress code. The girls refused to accept it. And then they didn't even kick out the girls. They just wanted to set up two areas of study for those that wanted to go in line with with halacha, really, and those that were, call them, more lax.
No,
it had nothing to do with Sephardi and Ashkenazi. There are Sephardi parents sitting in prison, too. There were Sephardi parents in the more religious school, also. Start again.
There's a missing man, old man, and the poisoning people.
Okay, so let's stop. Let's see. What are we talking about?